to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. We are getting down towards the final chapters of Vatican Abdicator, the end of the Vatican Assassin trilogy. We are in the middle of an interstellar war, and Dolomei was somehow attacking BC mind to mind at the end of our last chapter. So BC was going to take a little break, try to get his head together, literally, and regroup and see if he could counterattack. BC is leading the war effort against the attacking aliens, the sheer numbers of the Eldred, and the stealth attacks of Dolomei. BC spotted Dolomei's cloaked ship, and he is about to initiate an attack of his own. Now, in case you're not familiar with him, Dolomei is a recently thought-out member of the race now known as the Ancient Enemy, which perished a million years ago when the rest of settled space rose up and threw off their yoke. He was a criminal among an already brutal race, condemned to suspended animation for his crimes. The irony is, he outlived his race. He outlived them. They're a million years dead, and he's still alive and kicking. But BC is about to try and mentally kick him back, kicking Dolomei in the head. We'll see how that goes. This is the first time BC's going to try a mental attack, although he has been in touch, mind to mind. We'll find out if BC's mental attacks are successful, coming up in Chapter 21 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. That's what we're about to get into. The story is on the way. A little bit of book news first, and I do have book news. Got a new audiobook out. Not one that I wrote, but one that I narrated. The audiobook I just narrated, Speed, No Limits in the Digital Era, by Alexander Ponovierski, just came out on Friday. It's at Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. Talking about the fourth industrial revolution, artificial intelligence, AI, the Internet of Things, cloud technology, blockchain. What does it mean? How will it affect you? Find out in this book, Speed. It's out now. And you can listen after this chapter of Vatican Abdicator. I'm going to give you a preview of the new audiobook as part of the podcast today. I'll play you part of the introduction coming up. My patrons just got free copies of the audiobook. It does pay to be a patron. For just a little bit each month, you can help support the podcast and get free stuff and get stuff ahead of time. We'll be talking a little bit about that in just a couple here. Just go to patreon.com, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and become a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month. That supports this podcast, helps me keep all my sites running, and pays for hosting and all that kind of stuff. And if you help me, I give you free stuff. I give you audiobooks that I narrate as they come out. I'll give you free copies, like I did with Speed. I'll also be giving free chapters of my next novel early to my patrons. So if you can, please support Glow in the Dark Radio by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and becoming a patron. Other book news, I've got, I'm about 91.5 words on Star Seeds of Earth. Still writing the climactic scenes, but it takes a long time to get these right for some reason. Also working on lettering pages because I got more comic book pages back from Juan Carlos Quatordia, so trying to get that Alibi Jones Christmas present done. I want it done and, you know, be able to put it out around Thanksgiving. We'll see how that goes. And speaking of, that is Alibi Jones' Christmas present, which will be coming out in December. And it will be on this podcast after we do Vatican Abdicator. So we only have a couple of more chapters of Vatican Abdicator. And then we'll be doing the two parts of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. And then we'll be hitting the new year, and I have to figure out what to do next on the podcast. So I'm figuring next week on the 16th or so, we'll have chapter 22 of Vatican Abdicator. And then on the 23rd, we'll have chapter 23 and the epilogue, the end of the book. Then I'll be taking Thanksgiving week off, which is about the 30th or so. And when I come back, about December 7th, we'll do Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, Part 1. That means I'll have Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, Part 2, around the 14th. And I may do an adaptation of the new Alibi Jones short story that is in Always Punch Nazis, the comic book. There's a new Alibi Jones story in that anthology that came out this year. And I'm thinking that might be what I have for you on the 21st. Then I'll take Christmas off, that week off, which is the 30th. So the next time around will be the first show of the new year, as I'm looking ahead here. So I'm thinking that we are going to begin, I am going to begin, a first draft run of Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth, as 2020 begins on the podcast. In January, first weekend in January, you'll be hearing the first chapter in draft form. I'll be working on the book as I go week by week with you. It's the same way I did Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Put that out that way. Now, patrons will be getting those chapters first, about a week ahead of time. And other stuff, too, as I'm getting the book ready. If you want to get in on that kind of stuff, the insider stuff, you want to become a patron. So again, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio for that. But yeah, looking ahead, it looks like 2020 is all about the new novel. New year, new novel. So that's a bit of book news right there. And that is all for now for book news. We're about to get into Chapter 21 of Vatican Abdicator, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 21 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC closes his eyes and begins to think of the doors he's built inside of his mind. He sees them pulsing, bulging outward as a pounding continues on the other side.
Ptolemy, I hear you knocking. You ain't getting in.
He thinks of the doors growing heavy, heavier, heavier. He sees the doors settle back solid into place. The pounding subsides. BC feels his headache ease.
Ha! Just needed some bigger doors. Now, let's see.
BC lets himself relax, and the world fades to gray. The walls fall away, and he floats in the middle of the still, calm, silent sea. He sees a cloud of golden particles dancing in the air around a glowing red orb hanging over the water nearby. He reaches out and touches the cloud. And suddenly he knows he is once again seeing out through another's eyes, the eyes of death, the eyes of Ptolemy. Ptolemy is sitting in his plush pilot's chair on the bridge of his ship, giving orders to his gunmen.
Hit their engines again! He's on that ship! I can feel it!
Ptolemy says, or thinks out loud, BC really can't tell the difference.
Something on a screen in front of him catches Dolomei's eye.
There! Target their engines! Hit them again! Don't destroy the ship! I want him brought here, in front of me, so I can kill him myself!
Who? Me? Does he know I'm here?
BC feels a jolt of panic, nearly gives himself away. He calms himself quickly, tries to stay quiet.
Gotta be careful. I'm a guest in the mind of a madman.
Is this a headache?
Dolomei wonders. He rubs his brow.
What is this? Something is not right.
The ship rocks sideways.
What was that?
Dolomei asks angrily.
Just talking with the ship, D, the first mate tells him. Little rough, I know. Sorry, Big D.
Just get him up here,
Dolomei shouts. He checks the sword in its sheath, hanging from his belt. A human artifact. He likes the brute effectiveness of the heavy, sharpened blade.
I relish the thought of using this ancient human weapon to take off the head of the eldest of the Eldred.
We have him, sir, a voice calls over the communicator.
The little fuzzy wuzzy is on his way to you now.
The eldest of the Eldred, is it?
Dolomei says, as the defiant servant, the fuzzy blue koala bear, is brought to stand in front of him.
Most arrogant of the arrogant is more like it,
Dolomei sneers.
Do you know me, servant?
The eldest of the Eldred looks at Dolomei blankly and remains mute.
It is the eldest of the Eldred. He must have been on one of the ships.
Dolomei summons the voice of command.
Speak!
The eldest of the Eldred twitches as if he can't help himself and speaks.
You are the last of your kind, the last living member of the race now called the Ancient Enemy. You are Dolomei.
I am Dolomei, but look around you. I'm not the last. Look at all my children,
Dolomei says, looking around at the crew gathered on the bridge.
Fiza, asleep at the foot of Dolomei's throne. Nice plush pilot's chair.
The stir of recognition nearly alerts Dolomei to BC's presence.
Fiza?
What?
Are you there again, Dim One? Hiding inside my head? No matter. Observe all you like.
These children are not like you, the eldest of the Eldred tells Dolomei. You are the last.
You do not believe that, or you would not be here, wiping them out.
We do this because they could become like you. If you were to lead them, it becomes even more likely that they would become like you, as some of these have. However, I can sense your touch heavy on many of these, Dolomei. They would not serve you willingly, would they?
No matter. They serve all the same. They are easily bent to my will. They now serve me, as you once did, as is your purpose, your design.
Dolomei yells down at the eldest of the Eldred.
Eldred?
Dolomei laughs.
Old servants, perhaps. Only Eldred because you've been around so long.
You will die here today, Dolomei, the eldest of the Eldred says defiantly. We will kill you. Or they will. But you will die.
Idle threats.
Dolomei dismisses the Eldred's words.
Promises.
Is this to be our final battle, then?
Dolomei asks him.
This is what it comes down to. We will die in this remote backwater place, far removed in space and time from my people's once great empire. Die out here and it all ends in obscurity, is that it? And what am I to you now, your great shame incarnate?
Dolomei is nearly raving.
You brought your forces here for victory, nothing less, correct? Certainly. You attacked these children, these pale echoes, mere shadows of what we were, but they are not your enemy. They are at best weak imitations. Those who serve me can only wish to be like we, supermen of old.
Before I kill him, I will destroy his world.
When I awoke, I wondered why any of you were still around, servant.
You wondered? All races have prospered without the ancient enemy to keep us scared and pinned down on our planets,
the eldest of the Eldred argues.
You don't get it, do you?
Dolomei says, shaking his head and smiling a deadly smile.
Your race has forgotten its humble origins. You are servants. You were created and bred to serve us. You were also created with a built-in obsolescence, built to be dependent upon us for your continued existence. Without us around, the servants should have slowly dwindled and died out thousands of years ago. Why do you suppose you're still around? You need me, you old fool!
Dolomei shouts at the eldest of the Eldred.
If I hadn't been around for all these years in stasis, you would have died out. Without me, you don't even exist. I keep you alive. You never figured that out, did you? I am the reason you even exist.
Now who is the arrogant one?
The eldest of the Eldred observes wryly.
Arrogant? Dolomei laughs. Kill me, and your race's reason for being will be gone. It's biological. Your race is hardwired to mine. If I hadn't been out there in suspended animation all these years, there would have been no Eldred.
The eldest of the Eldred stares back mutely at Dolomei.
Without me, there is no you,
Dolomei says, smiling an evil grin.
You're seeing it now, aren't you? You know it's true.
You? You are the reason that we are alive? Is this what you are trying to say?
The eldest of the Eldred says in disgust.
It does not exactly thrill me either, Dolomei says. I am doing what I can about it.
As he finishes speaking, Dolomei springs up out of his chair, drawing the sword from its sheath as he flows up out of his seat, bringing it up as he rises, and then down and across as he nears the eldest of the Eldred, taking his head clean off with his one sweeping swing.
Whoa!
BC can't help but react.
You are in here!
BC feels Dolomei's awareness on him like a hot blast of sunlight. He sees Fiza through Dolomei's eyes. She's waking up, standing up at the same time.
Ew!
She says, looking past Dolomei at the head and body on the floor. She looks back at Dolomei as BC looks through Dolomei's eyes into Fiza's. And suddenly he's looking out of her eyes and into Dolomei's dead eyes.
I'm in Fiza's mind?
BC, is that you?
It feels wrong. He's in here too.
BC feels Dolomei's presence, like greasy, slippery tentacles, grasping at him and Fiza. He concentrates and dries the tentacles down to gnarly black branches that he then snaps, breaking Dolomei's grasp. Fiza and Dolomei have been staring eye to eye this whole time. Now Dolomei's brow furrows as he tries to figure out what just happened. He doesn't break his gaze. BC tries to block him out.
How are you, Fiza?
BC, he's been controlling me. This isn't me.
I know, it's okay. I'm here now. Are you okay?
No, I'm anything but okay, BC. He's been inside me, BC. Completely violated me, mind and body.
BC feels the greasy tentacles reaching out again as they continue their stare down. He closes the doors on their wriggling forms, and the ends shrivel down to nothing.
Keep him out of me, BC.
I will try, Fiza.
Fiza?
Dolomei finally says aloud.
It's strange. I cannot feel you.
Strange,
she says quietly. Finally, Dolomei breaks his gaze and shifts his attention.
Clean this up!
Dolomei orders the first mate, pointing at the corpse of the eldest of the Eldred with the tip of his sword.
Keep him out of me, BC.
I'm trying. I see a gun I can reach. Keep him out for me, BC. Let me do this.
Fiza casually saunters over to the throne and plops back down on her cushion at its feet, easing a handgun off the throne and down beneath her as she lays down.
He didn't see me.
Dolomei walks back over to his chair
and sits down next to Faiza.
Keep him out of me, BC.
Dolome leans over Faiza.
Why can't I feel you, Faiza?
He asks.
Feel this,
she says, and she brings the handgun up into Dolome's face at point-blank range. She pulls the trigger.
Bang!
BC feels her adrenaline rush, her fear, her sense of freedom, her elation. He sees through Faiza's eyes one last time, sees the hole in Dolome's forehead, just above his two now truly dead eyes, sees the bits of brain and the blood splashed across the wall behind him, sees the rest of the crew on the bridge now dazed, out of it and confused. Dolome had gathered the strands of their minds together into his own. With his death, each strand has snapped back, stunning them. This boomerang effect has left the bridge crew incapacitated. BC snaps back. No easy awakening through the still calm silent sea this time. BC is jolted awake and alert on the bridge of the command and control ship.
Minute to spare, Chang says, as BC opens his eyes and stands up.
Huh?
BC feels a little dazed himself.
You were under for 14 minutes.
What's happening? BC asks.
Ptolemy's dead. Faiza just killed him.
That stray smudge merged with... must have boarded a blue blip. Blew it up afterwards.
Huh, now that's strange. Something's happening with that ship. We're starting to get a fix on it. The Eldred must be too. They're starting to surround it.
Strategy screen. BC calls the tactical display up. Dolome's ship shifts from a smudge to a small blue blip as BC finds it on the display. A small dark blue blip, surrounded by a sea of light blue blips as the Eldred close in.
Their shields are down, Chang reports.
Get me an open channel, BC commands.
Go ahead.
Dolome is dead. This is Bernard Campion. You do not need to fire on that ship. Dolome is dead. Dolome's dead,
BC tells everyone listening.
How do you know? An Eldred voice asks.
Yeah, how do you know? Chang echoes the alien.
I've seen it. We have a way of seeing into their ships. I saw it happen over there, on their ship,
BC explains. He tries to convince them. Please, do not fire. Dolome is dead. I saw fi- BC stops. The masked Eldred ships have simultaneously opened fire on Dolome's ship.
Visual, BC commands. A view screen pops up just in time for BC to see the steady, focused fire of the Eldred ships have its desired effect.
Dolome's ship explodes in a billowing, cloudy surge of red, orange, and blue.
Faiza!
The Eldred are firing. I guess that means this fight isn't over, BC says, sadness and anger coloring his tone.
Fire at will, I repeat, fire at will!
All Eldred ships are targets. All of Dolome's remaining ships are also now viable targets. Fire at will, I repeat, fire at will! BC calls for the tactical display.
Strategy screen.
BC stares as safe ships take out more of the light blue blips. Dolome's ships drop their shields as safe ships approach, turning into solid dark blue blips on the screen.
Dolome's remaining ships are surrendering, Chang reports to BC.
Arrest the crews. They'll have to stand trial for their crimes. They'll have to learn how to be human again.
It won't be easy figuring out how much was them and how much was the touch of Dolome. How much did the devil make them do it? How much did they dance with the devil of their own free will?
Confiscate the ships. If we can spare the pilots, fly Dolome's ships back to the shipyards. We'll see if we can use them against the Eldred.
Sir, the Eldred are no longer putting up much of a fight. We're getting reports that indicate many of their ships are now fighting with shields completely lowered.
Put me on the fleet comm, Chang.
You're on.
All ships, new orders. Dolome's ships have surrendered. Their ships and crews are being taken care of as I speak. The Eldred seem to be standing down as well. Your new orders are to only fire when fired upon. I repeat, we will now only return fire, only fired when fired upon. Keep your shields up, but do not fire unless provoked. Command out.
BC?
Anita is on the comm.
What's happening over there? Did you have to go over?
Dolome is dead, Anita, BC tells her, and the Eldred seem to be backing down and losing their will to fight. That may be because Dolome killed the eldest of the Eldred, before Faiza shot him.
Faiza? Faiza shot Dolome?
Dead? Anita asks, incredulous. Dead, right in the middle of the forehead.
Great, Anita jokes. So now Fiza's a hero.
Fiza's dead, Anita, BC says solemnly to throw it back in her face as he gets a little mad at Anita's flippancy. The Eldred destroyed the ship, even after I told them Dolomei had already been killed. They blew her up.
I'm sorry, BC. I know she was an old friend of yours.
Thank you, Anita.
Now I feel guilty for getting mad, dammit.
Well, it's good news about Dolomei. And the Eldred too, huh? Maybe? Anita says. We'll see.
Keep me informed, BC, she asks him.
I will, he says, ending the call.
The Eldred are retreating, sir,
Chang informs him. Follow them. Lock onto their transpace signals and follow them back to their bases. Let's make sure they aren't going to come roaring right back at us. Tracking systems developed by the project allow the Solar Alliance interplanetary forces to track the Eldred back to their nearest military base. The first report comes back in about 20 minutes.
They've definitely got reserves. There are a couple more thousand ships out here.
Take them out, BC orders. As many as you can. Two safe squadrons of 6 ships apiece swoop in to attack the Eldred advance base. Surprisingly, the Eldred fleet offers only token resistance. They put up little fight as the safe ships streak through, strafing their base, sweeping through their fleet. BC watches relayed information on his strategy screen, watching the safe ships, blips, mow through the light blue blips representing the Eldred ships.
What's happened to the Eldred? Is what Dolomei told the eldest of the Eldred true? Were they somehow biologically attuned to him? Did that make them aggressive? And now that he's gone? Could be true, I guess. Something about them has definitely changed. They lost the eldest. That could be it. Before, they were attacking us as if we would become the ancient enemy. Now they're holding back, hardly defending themselves. Did Dolomei represent the potential for us to become what he was? To become the ancient enemy? Now that he's gone, maybe that potential is gone too.
The safe ships are able to do massive damage without losing a ship out of the dozen. The base is wiped out with little resistance. A few remaining Eldred ships retreat again.
The Eldred base has been neutralized, Chang tells BC.
Good. We haven't found any other staging areas, any other Eldred bases?
Not so far, sir. All the ships we followed retreated to the same base.
BC orders one of the squadrons to follow the current retreat and trace those ships back to whatever deeper base they are fleeing. He tells the other squadron to hold the ruins of the base they've just taken out and eliminate any stragglers. He sees no reason to risk reprisals or any changes of alien heart from the Eldred.
If they even have hearts. Damn, I feel bad for some reason. Guilty. Why should I feel guilty about wiping them out? They were trying to wipe us out, after all. Keep wiping them out? Even when they stop fighting back? Have they really stopped? They seem to have, for now. We don't know that they'll stay dormant.
Safe Squadron Blue reporting contact with retreating Eldred fleet, Chang reports. They're reporting no resistance, Prime Representative, sir.
Tell them to open fire, BC orders. Sweep the fleet. If they get into any trouble, fall back. Don't risk getting hit. Tell the ships to watch each other. I don't want to lose anyone to friendly fire.
Yes, sir, Chang says sharply.
Sounds like Chang might not agree with my methods. So be it. Some will always argue with what has to be done. I can only hope it's the right decision. Seems right to me. We do what we have to do.
Blue Squadron reports little resistance, but again, massive retreating by the Eldred from the field of battle.
Find out where they're going. Watch a few ships, see if they'll change it up and try fleeing to multiple targets. It's not likely, given their track record, but we'll see.
Yes, sir.
Blue Squadron harries the Eldred back 2 more transpace jumps before finally losing them. BC doesn't want to risk losing Blue Squadron, so he orders them back to help the other safe group finish mopping up around the first base the Eldred jumped to. Dolomei's 5 remaining ships are all flown in to the shipyards. Their surviving crews are put on ships heading back to Earth so they can face justice at home. With the fight winding down, BC asks Chang to take the command and control ship back to Ceres Central.
Looks like we might have won this one, BC observes. At least for now.
That was Chapter 21 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Boom. The battle seems to be done. Faiza did good. No more Dolomei. Of course, that didn't stop the Eldred from killing her. Well, at least they are on the retreat, at least for now. Have to join us next week for Chapter 22 of Vatican Abdicator, so you can find out if this is really peace or just a ceasefire. Will the Eldred come roaring back? Find out on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. That's Chapter 22 on the way. Speaking of things on the way, it looks like I'll be starting Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth in draft form on this podcast in January. One of the things I announced just before we started that chapter. Still not done with that draft. That's conditional, because I have to finish it first. But I'm at the 91.5K mark on that, so still writing the climax. I'm also lettering pages of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, getting that ready for the comic book release end of this month, beginning of December. And as I mentioned, too, the new audiobook that I've narrated by Alexander Ponerviersky, Speed, No Limits in the Digital Era, is out now, as of Friday. So let's listen to a little bit of that. This is a segment from the introduction to the book. This is me narrating Speed by Alexander Ponerviersky. It's a preview of the brand new audiobook on Glow in the Dark Radio. Introduction. Jump in. Adjust your seat. Check your mirrors. Fasten your safety belt. Why? Because it's going to be a fast ride. We'll drive at speeds you've never experienced, never even imagined. I'll help you join the fastest race in the world. It's already started, but you can still take part. You must if your job is to drive your business into the future. Only by following this path will you get the tools to do this and get there at a dizzying speed. I am going to take you on a journey into the world of technology and business, to a world where everything happens instantly, so fast that you won't even notice inventions appearing, and the next day, it will be like you have always used them, so fast that before you think about what you need, it will be right there in front of you. What seemed unthinkable yesterday, tomorrow will be very real. 1. Before you press the start button. You probably never thought about moving at extraordinary speed, being reminded only of the limitations. In a city, the limit is, say, 35 miles per hour. On the freeway, it is higher, but maybe no more than 75 miles per hour. Your speedometer shows a maximum of just over 160 miles per hour. You can't go any quicker. Or can you? Today's fastest car travels at 301 miles per hour, while the land speed record is 706 miles per hour. Accelerating, the fastest passenger plane will fly you at 659 miles per hour. The fastest aircraft in the world, the NASA X-43, flew at over 10 times that speed. It's expensive, but possible. You might say, but now you can't do it faster. You're entitled to be cautious because you only know the speed limits. But in the time between me writing and you reading, these records have probably been beaten, boundaries crossed, and limits broken. My good friend Robert Muha, a multidisciplinary motorsport driver and the first Pole to win a Monte Carlo rally category in 1972, said, "When I won the race, I thought I was fast. That was until I went faster. So, it's faster." Everything speeds up. Sending messages to the other end of the world years ago required many generations. Hundreds of years had to pass before distant cultures could communicate with each other. Now you can send a message thousands of miles in real time. Although just writing a message takes a little while, you probably haven't noticed how often you use auto-completion to radically speed up writing, or Alexa or Siri to simply dictate. In a few seconds, your email will be on the other side of the planet, and you will have bought something from another continent. But you can do it even quicker. stock market orders are executed in the blink of an eye. In the past, the broker had to call both trading parties. You can press enter and buy gold immediately. The operation takes a tenth of a second. Because it's so fast here and now, once again you'll probably say, we have reached the limit. And I'll tell you that we will yet go faster than you would believe possible, and much sooner than you think. That's why I wrote this book. In the course of my work, I've gained unique insights into the nature and speed of development in mobile telephony, the Internet of Things, IoT, artificial intelligence, AI, and its digitization. I want to share with you where it's going, how it all fits together, and how you can tap into this amazing source of creative energy and business opportunity. I will introduce you to the security patent, the critical role of partnering, and show how to leverage the new asymmetry of information. I am privileged in this book to share opinions from exceptional leaders in their fields. Kevin Ichpirani, Corporate Vice President, Global Ecosystem and Business Development at Google, and previously held the same position at SAP. Maciek Kranz, Vice President of Strategic Innovation at Cisco Systems, Inc., and author of New York Times bestseller, Building the Internet of Things. Jeff Martin, founder and CEO of Tribal Planet, pioneer in the entertainment and new media markets division at Apple in the early 1990s for 9 years, and was a direct report to Steve Jobs. Uwe Müller, former head of IT security with NATO, who has held senior roles at IBM, PwC, and currently as head of business consulting for EMEIA at EY, Ernst & Young. Monique Rainier, founder of Harvard University's Advising Program, associate vice president of the New School, and the author of Countdown to College, The Essential Steps to Your Child's Success Launch. Wojciech Wajewarowski, former Polish Data Protection Commissioner and, since 2014, Assistant European Data Protection Supervisor at the EDPS. With these insights and more, you will learn all you need to know about surviving and thriving in a digital age where speed has no limits. Speed changes business, changes our lives, and changes everything. Are you ready for a speed you are not yet aware of? Insert the key. Ready? Press start. That is a little bit of the introduction to the book Speed, No Limits in the Digital Era by Alexander Poniewski. Narrated by me, yours truly, Mike Luoma. And that has just been released. Came out on Friday, on November 8th. You can get that now at Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. It's about a 9-hour book. A little sneak preview as part of today's Glow in the Dark radio episode. And once again, my patrons got a free copy of that audiobook. You could too. You can get a lot of free stuff if you become a patron. Just head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Sign up for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support the podcast and my work. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.